Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and we praise you, God. Yes, we do feel like going on, God. We feel like moving beyond and we feel like doing the things that we need to do to show that we are unbreakable, we are unshakable, and with your healing, we can move to higher heights and deeper depths. Now, Father God, I'm praying that you would illuminate this time of preaching and sharing, God. Let me be touched as I speak. Let the people be touched as they listen. And God, let revelation knowledge flow freely, unhindered, and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic forces. And for that, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Or whatever you want to connect to the Word of God with. Or if you desire, you can just point to the screen. But say this, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love.
Where we love.
By living our vision every day.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We
commit to serve creatively.
We
communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God, feed me your word.
If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Amen. You have already been fed. But you've had the drinks and the appetizers, and you're waiting on your entree, and here I am to bring your entree. So let's start this by putting this picture up. And so we are in the month of May, and May is Mental Health Month. And so we are going to be framing our sermon around this idea, this theme. And let's start with a statement that I need everybody to understand, and as we park with the statement, it'll help us all. Mental health struggles are not a sign of weakness. They are a sign of humanity. Let me say that again. Mental health struggles are not a sign of a weakness. They are a sign of humanity. How weird would it sound for you to tell someone, I got a cold? I'm like, whew, you got a cold? What is wrong with you? That you have a cold, you should be so deep, you shouldn't get a cold. You should be so saved, you shouldn't get a cold. But most people understand getting a cold is a part of being human because there's germs, there's things. Your body is not supernatural. It's beautiful to talk about Marvel and DC Comics, but that is fairy tale. None of us are superheroes. And so sometimes we get colds. Sometimes we get hangnails, sometimes we have allergies, but when it comes to our physical health, we understand that. But if people struggle with their mental health, we act like it's a big deal, especially if you're in the church. But guess what? Mental health struggles are a sign of humanity. We've all struggled in our mental health, and it's different. It's not all the same for everyone, but we all have certain struggles. Let me just talk about some of mine. Mine have been overthinking. I just did an analysis on myself, and one of the things I realized, I'm a second guesser of myself. What do you mean by that, Pastor Andre? I'm one of those people that I'll drive down my street and the next street, and I'll be like, did I shut the garage? And I'm like, man, did I? And I'm thinking about it. Sometimes I realize I ain't got time to go back and look. Because I'm already late, but I got that mindset, did I? And sometimes you can second guess yourself so much that it causes you to overthink. Sometimes you lose your confidence, but guess what? It's just a part of being human. Some of y'all have been fooled by my selfies. Ooh, that looks so good. It took me 20 tries to get one good selfie. I was looking over here one day. I had hair in my mouth over here. It's because we're just human. So guess what? I feel like going on. I just keep trying till I get it right.
Amen.
So never worry about the fact that you're struggling momentarily, because that just makes you human. And guess what? The thing about it, we don't have to do life in our humanity alone. We have our humanity and the divinity to help us come along. Someone said it, and I just posted it not too long ago in my stories. It says, trials, troubles, obstacles, and the things that we go through, it's a reminder that we need God. Yes. If you could do it by yourself, guess what? You wouldn't come to church. If you could figure it out by yourself, you wouldn't need to pray. If you had the money you wanted, the women you wanted, the men you wanted, the car you wanted, the house you wanted, the food you wanted, the weight you wanted, you wouldn't need God. But somehow, the trials of life remind us that we do need some help. So, with having said that, let's start with the title of the sermon, which you probably have seen as you were walking in the door. And it's simply this: are you okay? Are you okay? I'm going to answer it for me, and I'm going to answer it for all of us. No. No, we're not okay, altogether okay, and we won't be altogether okay until we make it to heaven. But guess what? It's okay that we're not altogether okay. So here's a good way to answer it. Are you okay? Yes, in some areas. Now, only people who are close to me get to know the areas that I'm not okay in, because I can't trust everybody. But the people I can trust, I can show them who I really am. The problem that we have in this day and age, people will take advantage of who you really are. When you lower yourself down and they get to see another side of you. I thought you were saved. I am saved, but I'm struggling in this. Ooh, you cussed. Well, I'm saved and I cussed. I don't want to cuss all the time, but there's a certain portion of me that's not always delivered all the time, 24/7. If you a 24/7 angel, you ain't got no business being on earth. Go on and be where you need to be. But the rest of us, we got to live and walk this thing out. So I'm still walking this thing out, and there's some areas that I'm not okay. Do you have a great marriage? Yes. But are there areas of your marriage that can get better? Yes. Do you have some good money? Yes. But is there areas where your money can get better? Yes. Is your church doing okay? Yes. But the areas your church can get better? Yes. So are you okay? Not all the time. Not all the time. So this will help us to understand. This is one of the things that we fail to do. Go ahead and put this up. So because we live a human life, sometimes we just have to have some time to take self-assessment. I love how we are committed to serve creatively, which means that when we serve God in this ministry, it's not just serving God. We plan to serve others. We plan to be creative. We're not just doing things inside the four walls of the building. We're getting out and doing things out there. We are on boards. We are doing things. I'll just throw just a few things that happen. Mother Mitchell will sometimes go to elementary schools and read for them. And just so we are serving creatively. But when you get in the mode of service, one of the people you can forget the most is yourself. Sometimes we give so much, do so much, help so much, please so much, we forget to take self-assessment of us. And sometimes when you give, people will take. So sometimes it's up to you to have a self-assessment. And sometimes the answer sometimes just has to be no. Not today. Well, I want you to go to my birthday party. Well, you're going to have a birthday next year, hopefully. Today, I'm not going. I'm not coming. I don't feel like it. And guess what? Sometimes people are going to get mad at you. But you can't please everybody all the time. Sometimes you got to look after yourself. Even your grown kids who love you will forget to check on you. Sometimes they'll forget about your birthday. They'll forget about Mother's Day. They'll forget about Father's Day. So sometimes you have to remind people, I am included in the process. So if you're not going to treat me like I need to be treated, sometimes I got to distance myself just to let people know I'm human too. I always got to pick up the phone when you're in trouble. But when I'm in trouble, I can't find you. So sometimes when you take self-assessment, you find out all the friends you have are not really friends. You have a lot of acquaintances, but you're lucky if you have a few good real friends in your life. So sometimes you just have to take assessment. Let's give us a definition of assessment. Here's a definition of assessment. The evaluation or estimation of the nature, quality, or ability of someone or something. So when you take self-assessment, you are evaluating things. And sometimes you have to evaluate. Now, one thing that I've noticed is that things have changed the older I get. There are things that I liked that I don't like the way I used to like them the older I get. I'll give you an example. I love roller coasters. But the older I get, I notice when we go up, I close my eyes. I used to look around and be looking. I don't do that no more. I still like to be on them, but close my eyes. Now, once we start going down, I open my eyes and I have fun. But also notice, once I get off the roller coaster, my back don't feel like it used to feel. My knees don't feel like it used to. My neck don't feel like it used to feel. So here's a self-assessment. I may not need to get on every roller coaster that I used to get on because I am shifting and changing. Let me use that analogy to throw it out to you. Some people have taken you on roller coasters. And some of these roller coasters you got to get off of. Some of the relationships you're in, oh, he's so fine, but he keeps you on a roller coaster. And over time, you realize I can do bad by myself. So I love you, you love me, but I'm getting off of this ride for my own self-preservation. I'm not going to let you run me into the ground, because if I'm ever going to be used mightily by God, I'm going to have to be able to take care of myself. So it means saying no. It means doing different things. Sometimes it means changing eating habits. Sugar, I love me some sugar. But sugar doesn't always agree with me. And sugar don't agree with the suits I like to wear. So I have to make some adjustments. And so sometimes when you self-assess, it helps you a lot. And so we all need to take some time to self-assess. And so sometimes, as much as it may be uncomfortable, sometimes you need to be by yourself to have real good self-assessment. Some of us, because of the way our life is, as long as we are around people that keep us busy, it keeps us from processing things. But sometimes you have to process things by yourself alone. Not all the time. It doesn't have to be for long periods of time. But sometimes the question I want to ask is, do you really know you? Some of us do things and get in things and be like, man, I didn't really know I was like that, because you haven't spent enough time with yourself. Spend enough time with yourself. Guess what? I'm taking my time, but I'm going to move on. I learned something early on in my Christian walk after I got rededicated my life to the Lord and I came out of college, because I had got into a heavy drinking habit. And so I came out of school and I was living with my parents. I hadn't drank in a long time. And so I said, I'm delivered from alcohol. And I was, as far as I knew. But I hadn't spent any time with myself. Yeah. And so one day I was at Applebee's. I don't know if I was by myself, or I was with someone else. And I just happened to be, if those of you know Muncie Applebee's, I was on the side where you can see that entrance side. I was sitting over there. And so I was looking this way. And then I happened to just glance over at the bar. And it's like the bar was talking to me. It was like, ooh. It was like angels were singing. I seen blue bottles. I seen all kinds of colors, and my goodness, I wanted to leave what I was doing. I didn't want to order no drinks. I just wanted to go grab a bunch of stuff. And it confused me, and I was like, God, I thought I was delivered, and God spoke something to me that helped me a lot. He said, avoidance is not always deliverance. Just because you've been able to avoid something doesn't mean you've actually overcome it. You don't know you've overcome it until it's in your face. So that's why sometimes you have to take self-assessment by yourself where you can actually say, you know what? I ain't all that saved in certain areas. I'm a pastor on Sunday, but there's certain areas when I self-assess, I need some help. And guess what? It's okay. It helps you help other people when you ain't so holy. See, if everything is so easy for you, you don't understand struggles for somebody else. It's not until stuff is right in your face and you struggle and you need to cry out to God that you find out that God is God on the mountain, but he's God in the valley. God is God when you're delivered, but he's also God when you're struggling. God is God when you're quoting scriptures, but he's also God when you're sinning and messing up. He's God all the way around, and you find a new level of God when you can just finally self-assess and say, some stuff I'm not okay, but God loves me still. All right, let's move on. So I said all that to say this, just one a little point. Go ahead and put it up there for us. It's okay to not be okay. Saints, let me say it again. It's okay to not be okay. Not saying that you don't want to grow. Not saying you don't want to get better. But sometimes we have overinflated views of our spirituality. If they call you tomorrow and said you have 3 weeks before you're going to get evicted, if you are a human, it's going to bother you. You ain't got to be like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be nervous. Amen. It's okay to fear. And here's the thing. It's okay to be like, you know what? This doesn't feel good. That's all right, because it lets us know we need God. There are some things we need God for. And so what we're going to do is, as we move forward, I'm going to lay out 6 points. And they will help us as we move forward. Here's, put it up here. 6 it's okays from the book of Psalms. So here's the major point. It's okay to not be okay. So here's 6 other it's okays from the book of Psalms that'll help us process through. I think many people have missed the impact of the pandemic. The pandemic, the way it was, it wasn't something we were expecting or anticipating, but it caused a lot of isolation for a lot of people. It caused everybody to be on a level playing field. The rich as well as the poor, we all were in a situation. What it should have done, it should have brought to us the understanding of the frailty of who we are as humans. And then it also should have brought to us the need of other humans, the need of somehow banding together. But somehow after the pandemic lifted, we're more divided than we've ever been. We're fighting over dumb stuff, and it seems like we should have caught the revelation. We need each other. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how fine your woman is. We need each other. And so when we learn how to do life with one another, it makes life a little easier. I've been through some hard things, but I'm glad I did it as the pastor of Deliverance Temple, because y'all know how to love folk in hard stuff. We're not a perfect church, but when it's time to come together, we know how to come together. And I'm glad some of the stuff I went through, I had people to go through it with me. I'm glad I don't have to be a lone ranger and do everything by myself, for myself. I'm glad I can depend on God, but I can't see God, I can see you. It's good if I can depend on you as well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start off with point number one. It's okay to ask why. Well, you can't question God. Who told you that? Have you ever read the scriptures? That's something people have said, but let me tell you, it's okay to ask why. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you said, why me? I didn't ask God, why me? I'll tell you one of the examples I asked God why me was when we first had our first miscarriage, because we were youth leaders and there were young people who weren't married and they were having babies. And we couldn't have a baby. And I'm saying, why? It don't seem fair to me. We're doing it the right way. It seems like they're doing it the wrong way. And they're getting blessed, and we're not getting what we want. And just because you ask why don't mean God's always going to answer. But it's okay to be human and ask why. Let's put a scripture up. Psalms 42:5, and this is just the A clause of the verse.
Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?
David actually did a self-assessment, and after his self-assessment, he didn't come through singing The Goodness of God by C.C. Winans. He didn't come through singing Don't Wait Till the Battle's Over, Shout Right Now. He had a question, why am I discouraged? The King James says, so why are you disquieted? Why does it hurt so bad? Why does it feel so sad? It's okay to be in a situation where you have to ask why. And sometimes when you're in a situation, that's the only thing you have is why. Why? Why? And as a pastor and a leader, sometimes that is the answer that I don't have always. I don't have the answer to why. But I can say this, I'll walk with you until we get to the next stage. I can't tell you why, and a lot of times I can't tell you when, but I can promise I'm going to walk with you. And this is what I love about people. You ain't got to know everything. You don't have to know all the details. And let me pause and say this, and this is for you women. I learned this as a man, especially as I've counseled couples. A lot of times what men do, we want to fix stuff. And so when a woman has a complaint, we try to fix. But sometimes the woman, I don't want you to try to fix it. I just want you to hear me out. Because you can't fix what I'm dealing with. So just be there with me and feel with me and walk with me. Let me cry it out because some stuff you can't fix. And here as a leader, there's some stuff I cannot fix because I am human like you're human. But I promise you I'll walk with you in it. And you promise me that you walk with me. And that helps us with the whys of life. Not all the whys are deep. Some of the whys are simple, but there still can be regular whys. Like you ever been in a situation, especially in a season of high stress, and it may not be necessarily anything negative going on, but when you're in a season of high stress, anything can trigger you. And it's okay to ask why. Sometimes your refrigerator seems extra loud on the day you want to get some rest. And it's just humming. It's okay to be like, why? And many of the answer is we have demonic forces all around us. And they're petty. And they pick. And their goal is to try to get you to walk away from God. But you've come too far to walk away. So sometimes you just have to endure. The scripture says endure hardness as a good soldier. But just because you're enduring it doesn't mean you don't sometimes want to know why. Give you an example. It was just last year, me and my wife wanted to go on vacation. I wanted to take her to Jamaica. I wanted to fly her first class. I wanted to do it the best I could. I had it all paid ahead of time. And the day we were leaving, going to the airport, I opened my garage, and the garage pops and locks, and the door messes up, and I can't get out of the garage. That's the car I was planning on taking. That was the car that was filled up. So now I have to take all the luggage out of that car, put it in the other car, and because my wife don't always keep a whole lot of gas in her car, now all of a sudden we got to try to get gas. It's putting us behind. And all I wanted to do is go on vacation, but here's the devil picking. And guess what I want to know? Why? Why? But that's life. You can't be so weak as a Christian that little things will mess you up. Here's the thing. Yes, I didn't like that, and I was going to have to deal with it, but I also had to think about it. I had enough money to fly me and my wife first class, and it's already paid for. So should I cry about something small, or should I just go on and enjoy? The devil always wants to try to pick, and if you're not wise, you'll focus on the small stuff instead of the big stuff. Yeah. Let me throw this out there. All you Facebook people, 100 people say they like it. One person said they didn't. You'll focus on the one person and you forget the 100. Learn how to refocus and say, devil, I may have to ask why, but you're not going to stop me. In the end, I win. You know it, and I know it. So you're just trying to interrupt me. So I'm going to keep staying the course because I'm not a wishy-washy, weak Christian. I can have some whys, some things I don't understand, and I can still praise the Lord. Man, I'm taking more time than I want to, but let me add this in. It's because sometimes we act like God is Santa Claus. We always are supposed to bring us what we want, when we want, how we want, and all we got to do is leave him some milk and cookies, and he keeps on delivering every year. Keep squeezing down our chimney to give us what we want. Well, God's not Santa Claus, and sometimes you are not going to get what you want, when you want, how you want, but can you still serve him? Because here's the thing, whether you know it or not, you don't deserve anything beyond Calvary's cross. What he did on Calvary's cross is enough. But we don't always want to hear that when we want what we want, when we want, how we want. All right, let's move on. All right, so let's give us some things we can do. It's okay to look inside for clues. It's okay to have whys, and it's okay to look inside for clues. Before I go into this, let me tell you about, finish the story from us going to Jamaica. Had a great, wonderful time. And so we come back from the airport. I just put just enough gas to get us to the airport. And so we came back from the airport, and we got into a garage, and I told Lady Devin, I said, remind me to put some gas in your car tomorrow. Well, Dan, well, we needed to go pick up the dog who was being dog sat. And so me and Alana jump in there, and we going real quick. So I jump in my pajamas, go to pick up the dog. We get the dog, and then all of a sudden the car shuts off. What's going on with the car? Push the button, wouldn't do nothing. And it dawned on me, I done ran out of gas in my pajamas at the dog place. And I was like, man, but here's the thing. The devil couldn't get me down because I was just sipping Bahama Mamas in Jamaica. I already did what I needed to do. So, devil, you still trying to be the petty. But guess what? In the end, I still won. And it took them to go out. And, yes, I was a little embarrassed when the man had to come out and put gas in the car. But guess what? It's okay. I was still able to live. You can go through hard things and be okay. All right. Let's read some more. I'm taking longer than what I want to.
Day and night, I have only tears for food, mm-hmm. while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours?
Well, David wasn't dealing with no little gas issues. David had real trouble. Now, it was interesting. David got anointed to be king and went through hell. Sometimes you go through because of the anointing and the assignment on your life. If you wasn't called, it wouldn't be so hard. If you wasn't gifted, it wouldn't cost so much. If you wasn't anointed, the assault wouldn't be so great. And some of y'all, because y'all say you a member of this church, it's going to be harder because the devil don't like us. Yeah. Let's keep on reading.
My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be.
My goodness, heart is breaking. Read.
I walked among the crowds of worshipers leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration.
All right, let me give you three clues. I don't want to spend too much time on that. I could explain all of that, but I won't. I'm just going to give you three clues when you are self-assessment. Here's three clues that can let you know something. One, when you realize I'm living off of sorrow. Sometimes there's a season where you have to do that, but sometimes that season is over and you're living off of it. He said, tears have become my food. So when you're in that place for a long period of time, it could cause you not to be okay. So that's one clue. Here's another clue. When I'm focused on the enemy, when my focus gets off of God and it gets solely on the enemy, that's problem, because I may not be able to come out of not being okay quick enough because my perspective has shifted to the wrong thing. Now, we're human. Your perspective is going to shift when you go through certain things, but when it's too long, It could cause trouble, especially with the bounce back. I'll give you another example of that I always talk about. When I went to Colorado Springs, me and my wife, when I went to run a revival, and people talk about how beautiful it is. We flew from Indianapolis to Denver, and we drove from Denver to Colorado, which is about an hour, 15 minutes at the most. And people talk about how beautiful it was, but it wasn't that beautiful to me. But I didn't realize that it was a really cloudy day. When I got up the next morning, there was these big, beautiful mountains. And I was like, oh, my God, it is beautiful. I was seeing the Colorado Rockies. And just me being a short fella looking up, it's almost like you strained your neck seeing how beautiful they were. So on the way back home, when we were flying back home, I happened to look out of the window, and I seen those same mountains, and they looked so small. And God spoke to me. He said, it's the same mountains, it's just a different perspective. As long as you're looking from the ground, the mountain looks so big. But once you got up there and began to look from my perspective, the same mountain that seemed so big on the ground was so small from the air. So here's the point. As long as you look at your problems and your enemy from the earth's focus, it will always be too big. But if you can ever elevate and get up on the high level, that's why David said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. If I can look from the high perspective, what's bothering me right now is not as big as it seems, as long as I can shift my perspective. And church life helps you shift your perspective. When I'm stuck in what used to be, when what used to be has such a hold on me that I cannot move forward. Things are hard, things are rough, but they always say that the rear view mirror is much smaller than your windshield because you're designed to look forward more than you are looking backwards. So that brings us to point number three. With all that being said, it's okay to get honest with God. All right, let's look at Psalms 42:9.
Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies?
Not only is he asking why, which we're saying is okay to do, but he was not playing with it. He was saying, you seem like you don't forgot me. It seems like my grief is different from other people's grief. Seems like my trial is harder than other people's trial. It's okay to be honest with God. Sometimes you can never be free unless you're really honest. Let me give you another example. When you go to the doctor, one of the first things they want to know your family history. They want to know who struggles with heart issues, who has diabetes, and as long as you lie, they can't really diagnose you properly. Sometimes you got to be honest. This is in my bloodline. This is in my family. This is how it really is, because if we're ever going to calculate how to get you to another place, we got to talk about where we are right now. And deliver me from saints who don't want to be honest. If you don't know what God is doing and you're confused, it's okay to say, I am confused. Even Jeremiah said it this way. He said, I believe it was God is my issue, not the devil. I don't feel like the devil is. I believe God has taken his arrow and his bow and shot it at me. And they wrote it down for us to read it because God is okay with your honesty. Because you're never going to be helped if you're not honest. And so I've had situations in my life where I had to be honest and tell God how I really felt. And sometimes I can tell him better than I can tell y'all. I want to tell him how I really feel. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Psalms 13:1-4. We're going to keep plugging away.
Long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough.
Whoa. He was telling God how he really feels. I'm tired of it. I don't see your face. And here's the thing. When you are going through, it seems like everybody's getting blessed but you. I see your hand and your face in their marriage, but I can't find you in my marriage. I see your hand on their money, but I can't find you in my money. I see your hand on their ministry, but I can't find you in my ministry. They ain't talking about nothing, and 1,000 folk come to that church. I'm preaching the best I know how, and 12 people in the building. It don't feel right. It's okay to be honest.
Amen.
He told God, long enough. Looks like I'm seeing the back of your head. All right, let's go on some more. Verse 2.
Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me.
I love faith people, but all you faith people who act like faith is always going to keep you from stress and having your stomach in knots, you haven't read this scripture or you haven't gone through enough stuff. See, as long as you're praying about shoestrings and headaches, then it's okay. Yeah, you can have faith for that. But when you get into real trouble and real mountains and real grief and real tests, it's a little bit different.
Amen.
But some of us, the God's greatest people, go through great things. But tell you something, that testimony is something. That testimony is something else. Let's keep on reading.
Take a good look at me, God. My God. I want to look life in the eye.
All right.
So no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face.
Now, he's telling God how he really feels, but he begins to shift in his understanding. He begins to understand what I'm going through is actually so I can handle the enemy better. So the next time the enemy comes to my face, I'll have something that I didn't have before. Here's the thing. David, when he was able to tackle Goliath, everybody talks about how the little David was able to tackle Goliath, but he couldn't tackle Goliath if it wasn't for the lion and the bear that showed up. It was the lion and the bear that caused him to be positioned for Goliath. And once he got to Goliath, it changed his life. And here's what you don't understand. You're facing lions and you're facing bears. And it feels like, oh my, the lion and the bear. But when Goliath comes, you won't even be scared at all. Because sudden things, they test you and they temper you. And you can't go back to who you used to be. See, when you put gold in the fire, it burns off all the impurities and the weakness of the gold, and it becomes a better piece of gold after it comes out the fire. In other words, once I go through the fire, I don't get weaker. I actually become better. So next time, devil, you come, I got something for you because I've been forged in the fire. Them diamonds you women love, they come from lumps of coal. And that lump of coal, it's the diamond is in there somewhere, but it takes pressure. It takes heat. It takes something to produce the diamond. Now, I'm looking at diamonds, but you may still be in coal form. You may still be in pressure form. You may still be in trouble form. But baby, when you shift out of the trouble, you'll shine and you'll sparkle. But it costs you something to stand on the level you need to stand on. New level? Come on, somebody. All right. Now, having said all that, this will help us to point number 4. It's okay to ask for help. If you are in fire situation, stop trying to act like you can do it all by yourself. It's okay to ask for help.
Amen.
Some of you single mothers, sometimes you just need to ask somebody to pick up your babies and take them somewhere. Well, where are you going? Nowhere. I'm staying here. Stay at home, but I just need some peace and quiet. I need some help. But some of us, we're so afraid that somebody going to talk about us. Because once they come to my house, they're going to see that it's unkept. They're going to see what's going on. But sometimes you can't worry about your reputation. If you need help, you need help. And let me tell you something. As a pastor, yes, God has anointed me. Yes, I got a lot of things going for me. But I still need help. Now, I tell you all the time, Pastor Andre is a pretty good fella. Andre is not as good as Pastor Andre, but he's pretty good. But that Dre need a lot of work. So sometimes I need help. So I'm in therapy. I talk to a therapist because I want to make sure with all that I'm going through that I don't lose my head. I'm not so spiritual that I can't ask for help.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm holding the microphone, but if I need to, I will ask you to pray for me. But I'm only in the pew. No, we are in this together. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need sometimes your hugs. I need sometimes you to take care of my wife and treat them right. I need help to be what I need to be, and so do you. And when we become helpers one to another, what happens is it builds us and it links us. You remember years ago you would play an elementary game called Red Rover, Red Rover. Send Devin right over. And what Devin would do, she would run. And if she was able to break the line, she would take people with her. But the whole thing of the game, the more people that you had linked together, the harder it was to break the line. And Deliverance Temple, when we really get linked together in God, listen, devil, come on over. Red Rover, devil, come on over. We got something for you. We'll bow, but we won't break. We'll bend, but we cannot be toppled because we are linked together. There's a certain tree that is very, most trees that live and are really, really strong, they have very deep roots. But it's a certain type of tree that has shallow roots but still lives very long. And the reason why is because of the other trees that are just like it, their roots are shallow. In other words, their roots don't go down, their roots go out. But what happens, their roots link with somebody else's roots, with another tree's roots, and then it links with another tree's roots. And what happens is it's a whole system of trees that are linked together that by themselves they should fold because their roots don't go deep enough, but I got a hold of somebody else. I may not be what I need to be, but I got a hold of Brother Will, and he gonna help me stand this thing. I may not be everything I need to be, but I got a hold of Sister Teresa, and with Will and Teresa, we can hold this thing together. One can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. If I get a hold of Trish and Joyce, if I get a hold of Kiana and Krista, we might be able to make it together because we've locked arms together. And here's the thing, when the devil tries to push me over, he got to push me, Teresa, Trish, Will, Kiana, Krista. He can't push us all over together at the same time. That's why the Bible says if you bite and devour each other, you hurt yourself, because if I tear down Teresa, I'm tearing down my own health.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Let's go to Psalms 34:4.
I asked the Lord for help, and he answered me. He saved me from all that I feared.
Ooh, it's good to talk to people for help, but sometimes you just got to ask the Lord. I asked the Lord for help. And another thing, the older I get, my prayers have gotten shorter. Sometimes my prayer is, God, help me. God, fix it. God, turn it around. I don't have time for old, great, good Jehovah in there. I ain't got time for all that. Help me, God. Fix it, God. Turn it around, God. Make a way, God. I found out sometimes the greatest prayers are prayers when you need help the most. And yeah, we've needed a lot of help. We done been through a lot of stuff. But like the old preacher said, I feel my help coming. Oh, I feel stuff happening that shouldn't be happening. I see God making ways that I didn't think he could make ways in. I thought God had forgotten me, but I see doors open that used to be closed. I found God making a way out of no way. Give you another quick example. 2019 actually, felt like God was telling me to go back to school. Many people know my story that I came out of school to be and work with my father in the ministry. It was always my goal to finish my degree, never got around to it. And so it was always something I wanted to do. So I started again in 2006, had what I needed to have, and I was doing well, and I was getting A's. And my professor, my psychology professor, he says, I don't know why you don't have your degree yet. You are gifted. You need to go ahead and finish it. Well, the next month, they announced that my plant was closing down, and I was going to have to go to Indianapolis. Well, I was going to have to go to Indianapolis on second shift, and my classes were night shift. So there you go, 2006, my classes went away. Tried again in 2020, got everything up to where I need to be. My job will pay for it. And they say you have to have colleges in network. It was a college that my mother-in-law went to called WGU. It was the in-network college. It was actually on the link. It was the featured college. I was like, this is perfect. Signed up for it. Got everything lined up. When it came time to pay, all of a sudden they say, this college is on probation. We can't pay for it. You'll have to pay out of pocket. Well, I'm like, I don't want to pay out of pocket, because I looked, I checked everything. It still didn't work out. Shut down again. But somehow my wife ends up going. She ends up going and she starts going through a degree. I was like, well, maybe it's supposed to be for her and not for me. But I was still confused because I felt like God was telling me to go, but the doors kept slamming in my face. Well, in January 2024, a friend of mine that I did some work with way back when I was a youth pastor, he called me and says, I got a new job. I got a new job at Indiana Wesleyan, and we're doing certain things with churches where we will partner with churches that people can have education at a much lower rate. Would you be interested? And I said, yes, but I want to be like Hair Club for Men. I want to be the first one to try it out. So I signed up for it, and once again, things started falling apart and looked like it wasn't going to work out and it wasn't going to get paid. I'm like, God, if you really want it done, I want you to pay for it. I don't want to pay for it, but I don't have time to preach real long. So let me tell you, I'm finishing up my first classes right now. I'm on my fourth week of class. God's been working it out. Because when God get ready to open doors, I don't care how many doors been slammed in your face. If God said it, he's big and bad enough to make it come to pass. You got to learn how to take a no, take a licking, and keep on ticking, and keep bouncing back, and keep praising God. Stop holding your head down, looking all disappointed. Hold your head up and say, I'm going to make it some way, somehow.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me go on to say this. My other class was business stuff. This class happens to be leadership, organizational leadership. And one of my first things I had to write was a mission statement. Well, guess what? 15 years ago, I already had a mission statement. And then the next week, they talked about a vision. Well, guess what? We talk about living our vision every day. So guess what? This class is easy because it's what I already know about. But God was just setting stuff up in order so it would be what it need to be, when it need to be, how it need to be. But you got to go through sometimes.
Yes.
All right. My goodness, I'm going more than I want, but let's keep on going. Psalms 145, 18 and 19.
The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth.
It gives the suggestion that if you're going to be phony about it, he don't have to draw near. But if you call on him in truth, it makes him draw near. Let's read.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
It may not look like he can do it, but even if you're still here, he can still fulfill your desire. He can still turn it out some way, somehow. It may not look like you thought it was going to look, but he can do it for you. All right, let's read Psalms 20.
May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you.
Okay, read some more.
May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion.
So not only is he going to help you, he's going to send you help from the sanctuary. In other words, sometimes your help is locked up in the people around you, and God going to work it all out together. Guess what? What you just went through, all about a decade later, somebody going to go through, and they about to lose their mind, and you're going to step in. And you're going to carry them through, because you was able to go through it, and you came out. Yeah, it was hard for you, but guess what? All the people you're going to help in the process, the way God works is just, it may be mysterious, but God works in some powerful ways. All right, point number five. This will help us out. It's okay to go where the help is. Psalms 43 and 4, read this.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. Oh, God, my God.
Guess what? I'm going to go to the altar. In other words, I'm going to the house of God. Some people, they go through stuff and they run away from God. Other people go through stuff and they run too, God. I've seen people in this church that shouldn't have never come back to this church, but they said, this is all I know. And so they keep coming back to the house of God, and somehow God is going to stabilize them and strengthen them, because my help is in the altar. My help is in the place where I just throw myself and say, God, can't nobody do it but you. Yes. So I'm going to let you do it. Point number six, and this is the last point. It's also okay to praise your way through. Now, some people look at you and say, oh, you being phony. It don't take all that. But you don't know what I've been through.
Yes.
And sometimes it's okay to praise on credit.
Yes.
In other words, it doesn't have to be here yet, but I'm praising him just in case he decides to deliver me. Just in case he decides to deliver me, I'm going to stick my hands up.
Hallelujah.
Just in case he decides to deliver me, I might stomp my feet.
You
might catch me in lows, and I look like I'm having bees attack me. Bees ain't attacking me. I'm praising the name of God, because God just might deliver me today. And if he don't do it in 24, he might do it in 25. If he don't do it in 25, he might do it in 26. It's okay to praise your way through.
Hallelujah.
So let me before I go to this next verse, we're really closing, I promise. David was in a cave. Already anointed, and then his father-in-law, which was Saul, the king turned on him, throwing spears at his head. He's got to run, dodge. He actually had to go to the enemy territory, to the Philistines, and pretend like he was crazy just to fit in, to find some safety. And he finds himself on the run, in a cave, on the run. Now, sometimes when we go to this scripture, we think he was on the mountaintop. He was doing well. He was in the church. No, he was in a cave. And he wrote these words, Psalms 34, 1 through 3. Read them. Actually, I think I'm gonna read them, Mother Mitchell. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He didn't say this when he got a new car and a new wife and a new house. He said it in a cave when he was running for his life. He said, I'll bless the Lord. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then it goes on to say, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Basically, what he said, I'm going to talk about the goodness of God. Even when I don't see the goodness of God in my life, I'm still going to sing the song. I'm still going to come to church. I'm still going to pay my tithes. I'm still going to forgive folk, because I still believe that the God that I serve, if he don't deliver me like the Hebrew boys, I know that he's able. So I'm going to praise him anyhow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anyhow, never let life problems get you down. When life problems come your way, lift your hands to God and say, hallelujah, anyhow. And then he goes on to say this, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Go ahead and put it up on the screen in the back. I'm going to read it again. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let me tell you something. I've been through too much hell for you to come and be sedentary on my row. When I get to praising, I need somebody to praise with me. Don't play with me. I got to praise my way out. If you see me shouting, shout with me. If you see me yelling, yell with me. Because like the walls of Jericho, I'm marching around the walls, and the walls are coming down. The walls of depression are coming down. The walls of debt coming down. The walls of addiction are coming down. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. Last verse. Read this again. We're closing with this, because this is what he said at the beginning, and I'm going to finish the verse. Look at what it says at the end.
Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God.
Oh, your milk has an expiration date. Your macaroni has an expiration date. But also your troubles have an expiration date. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. David said, I'm going to praise him again. I'm going to worship again. I just got to go through what I'm going through, but I'm smiling again. Don't know when, I don't know how,
but I'm smiling again. And guess what? The devil won't be able to wipe this smile off at all. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close with this confession, and then we're going to run into our communion. I'll read it, and then we'll do it together. I'll read it first. It's okay that I'm sometimes not okay, but I will be okay because I'm trusting God to light my way and lead the way. Come on, say it with me. It's okay.
It's okay.
That I'm sometimes. Not okay.
Not okay.
But I will be okay.
But I will be okay.
Because I'm trusting God.
Because I'm trusting God.
To light my way.
To light my way.
And to lead the way.
And to lead the way.
I will add this. If we need him to light the way, that sometimes the way has become dark. But he'll still be our light, like we talked about in the Shine series. Let's go ahead into our communion. Go ahead and get your communion elements ready. As we do this, we are reminded of the suffering of Jesus. And so when we suffer, we know that the same one who suffered for us, he could turn things around for us as well. All right, go ahead and put the verses on the screen. I'll read them. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread. We've all suffered, but none of us have suffered like Jesus. So as we eat the bread, we know somebody who's acquainted with suffering, but who also rose. Let's read. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If we're proclaiming his death, we're also proclaiming his resurrection. Let's drink. Let's bow our head and let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you and we praise you. It's been hard, it's been tough, but you're doing something in us and you're bringing us to a new level, and we will help other people in the process, and we thank you for it. And we do know one thing, no matter what happens here, heaven is our home. And Father God, if somebody can say they do not know that, let them today make this declaration. Father God, I declare you sent your son to die for me, so I accept it, so that the suffering on this earth will be closed and I'll enjoy the fruits of heaven and the tree of life. In Jesus' name. And let everybody say, God bless you. You are dismissed.